Session two kind of looks at this idea, the storms of life have arrived. Now what? What can you do? What should our response be? What does life look like in the midst of the storm? And using the word calm, because I believe that in the midst of the storm, God calls us to be calm. And we read through Scripture, there are times where He definitely calms the storm. But whether the storm is calmed or not, His desire is that we would be. And Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22, kind of a whole section there. The disciples are in a boat. A storm comes up. Jesus is not with them in this particular account. This time, they seem to have good luck finding storms on the lake, even if they don't have good luck finding fish. And Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And their initial thought was, this is odd, this is strange, it must be a ghost, it must be something to be afraid of. We've never seen this before. And in verse 27, Jesus says that Jesus immediately says to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. You got to love Peter. His response, well, if it's you, tell me to come out to you. Now, I tell you, my mind kind of works through that, and I'm thinking, okay, so you're going to do it just because he says to, but you're terrified from the storm. What if it's not Jesus, and it's just, I don't know, somebody else walking on the water that says, sure, why not, come on out. But, you know, Peter's that guy that always puts the mouth into motion and says what he thinks regardless. And he says, well, Jesus walking on the water makes as much sense as anything else I can think of. So if it's you, tell me to come out. And Jesus says, come. And then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, something important to me, at least, to notice in that, if you've not caught it yet, the storm still exists. It hasn't calmed because the next line says, but when he, that is Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And in that moment, before he was distracted by the storm, Peter experienced what it was like to experience and to know calm in the storm. And I believe what we need is to experience more than just moments of calm. We need to learn from the examples of Scripture. We need to learn from God's Word that it's possible to be calm in the storm. And I'm not talking about an ignorance of the storm. I'm not talking about a pretending it's not existing. I'm not talking about simply living life in a oblivious stupor of what's really happening around you. I'm talking about noticing the storm and still being calm. You see, Peter, while he kept his eyes on Jesus, accomplished what no one else had done. He walked on the water toward Jesus. And I cannot help but imagine the sense of immense calm that had to overcome him until he was distracted, until his eyes drifted away from Jesus. And I love this wording. He saw the wind. Okay, well, he saw the effects of the wind. He saw something other than Jesus. He saw his inabilities. He saw his own lack. And he began to sink. So as we look at the life of Jesus, the one who brings calm in the midst of the storms, the one who would say to his disciples, "Take courage, it is I." The one who would say, "My peace I leave with you." Not a peace as the world gives, but a different kind of peace. What does it look like from his perspective? We consider the storms of life Jesus experienced on earth. A guy that was constantly facing those who would want him dead, facing those who would try to disprove him, facing those who would reject him, facing those who would try to use deceit to get him to say something that they could use against him. How did he respond to the storms that he dealt with? And how can we respond in a similar fashion? I believe the first element of finding calm in the storm is to find compassion. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. The crowds had gathered. They were eager to hear the teaching of Jesus. And then it got late. And in verse 34 it says, when Jesus landed, he was in the boat with his disciples, trying to get away from the people, trying to find one of those solitary places to pray. But the people just ran ahead of them. They took the shoreline and they wanted to hear what he had to say. And even though his desire was to find a lonely place where he and the disciples could be together, verse 34 says, when he landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. And it's the end of that teaching time that he feeds them. He takes the boys' lunch and he provides the food that they needed to survive. But all of this was done out of compassion. And I believe when we live in the midst of the storms, when the storms of life arrive, when we find ourselves filled with the compassion that Jesus has, we find our attitude changed. The calm that we need, the calm that we want, kind of just simply floods over us. It's that compassion that motivates us, that drives us to be the representative of Jesus that we ought to be. It's often been said that love can motivate us to do things that nothing else could. And it's this love that Jesus had for people, this love that was a suffering with them. He could feel their suffering. He could experience their suffering. He knew. And it's out of that compassion that he could walk with calm in the midst of chaos. He could live with calm in the midst of the storm. I have a tendency to pass out. Always been that way. the sight of blood, you know, I'm laying on the floor. Even a conversation, you know, people show up and for whatever reason they think it's a neat thing to describe some medical procedure. And there are those that like to describe it in great detail. And the more detail that it gets, the more likely I'm going to be found lying on the floor. My mind, I can picture in my mind what they're saying, and I can visually see it even though I can't. And it does the same thing to me that seeing the blood does. I've been in hospital rooms visiting accident victims that are very critical and have joined in prayer circles where I've been the one falling backwards in the middle of the prayer, just because the presence of everything there just gets into my mind. And yet, there's something about compassion and love. I've held plastic tubing in my hand that has had all of my daughter's blood running through it doing dialysis. And I've been able to do that out of compassion, out of love. It enabled me to do something that physically I can't. And I believe that's the element that compassion has that enables us to be calm in the storm when physically there's no way we can. The suffering that's going on around us, the oppression, the sorrow, the rejection, everything that we're facing piles upon us and we say it's too much. And then God says, look at your brother. Look at your sister. Look at your neighbor. Notice their suffering. Have compassion on them. You see, when we take our eyes off ourselves, when we take our eyes off of our storm and fix it on Jesus, we fix it on those that He's called us to serve, we discover that this compassion enables us to operate and to live with a calm that we never expected. To be able to go into life, to be able to go into disaster situations where everything seems to be a storm, and to do it with compassion creates a sense of calm. I sat with a gentleman in Lake Charles, Louisiana, who preferred to sit on his porch because he was too afraid to go inside. And he wanted to know if we could help. And we listened to his story, and we went in, and there was a tree limb this big around coming through his living room window, or his living room ceiling, that had just come down and punctured the roof and was just there in his living room. He took us through the house a little further, and there in his bathroom, it was smaller, it was probably about so big around, was a limb that was coming through the ceiling beside the toilet and into the tub. He said, I just am terrified to come in here and use the bathroom. And our hearts go out to him. And he says, well, here's what we can do. Here's how we can serve. There are elements of this that are bigger than what we have the capability of doing anything about. But we can join you in your suffering. We can join you in understanding why your fears are so great. And we pray with him and we clean up the mess that we can do. And there's this sense of calm that kind of sweeps over all of us because of compassion. And he knows there's a lot of work yet to be done. But he begins to recognize that he's not alone. that people care. One of the highlights of serving with IDES when I've had opportunities is the number one question when you show up to help clean up a disaster mess, at least that we've received, is what is this going to cost me? I don't have much. I don't have anything. Everything I had is destroyed. What will it take? And I love the response that one of the volunteers that I was working with would consistently give. It says, Jesus has already paid for this one. This isn't costing you anything. And one of the families we worked with, he said, I can see your equipment. I know that isn't cheap. I can see all of this stuff. How? Jesus paid for it. He's provided. We're here because of his love for us that he's called us to extend to you. And in the midst of the storm, we have great opportunities to show compassion. And I have to tell you, it's for most of us, it's a lot easier to do that in the physical storms than in the life storms. But it's just as necessary, perhaps even more necessary, in the midst of the life storms. For me, it was easier to go down with chainsaws and cut up wood off of people's roofs and out of their homes, and that was needed. But even more so was the need to sit and listen, to suffer with them, to be with them, to hear their stories, to pray with them. And we know people that are going through storms that don't need us to show up with a chainsaw. They don't need us to show up with a snowblower. They need us to show up with our presence and have compassion. And when compassion shows up in the midst of a storm, there's a calm that comes that cannot be explained other than the presence of God's Spirit. And as we live as those prepared for the storm, we recognize the urgency of prayer that develops this heart of compassion within us, because it's the heart of God. You see, all of what I'm talking about isn't stuff that we simply add to our life, but it's stuff that God puts in our life as we lean on Him. And having calm in the storm requires that we have compassion for others. And when we have compassion for others, not only will we find a greater calm, but we'll spread the calm that's needed. The second part about having calm in the storm is to recognize the authority in the storm. The physical storms that I responded to, there were people in charge. The large-scale disasters, the hurricane relief, FEMA shows up, and various government organizations, and they kind of tell you what you can do and what you can't do, where you can be, where you can't be. And if you want to serve in the midst of those storms, you need to recognize their authority and operate under it. But there's a greater authority. As a matter of fact, one that you're probably familiar with, Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Amen. And he follows it up by saying, "Go and make disciples. Go and spread calm. Go and bring people to me," Jesus says. And in the midst of the storm, it's important to recognize the authority over everything. When we read Scripture and we see that Jesus can speak and the storms stop, we ought to be able to live with a greater calm knowing God's got this. We read Scripture and we recognize that there are times storms exist and they continue because God's using them for a purpose. We don't like that one near as much as the ones when he just says, "Peace be still." But when we recognize God still has authority over those storms that continue, we live with a greater calm. There are times where we want things. We want things to change. We want things to be different. We don't like the storm that we're living in. And sometimes that attitude infects us to such an extent that we become distant from God. We may reject Him altogether. Because instead of recognizing His authority and finding calm in it, we reject His authority and become angry with Him. It's fascinating as you deal with people and you see both sides. There were people that had lost everything in one or both of the hurricanes that hit Lake Charles this last fall. And there were some that were very angry and bitter people. And there were others that would speak every time that we would show up about how God had protected their family, their life. How God had provided them with help. God had provided them things that they had no idea where it would come from. And it's not that God wasn't providing it to those that had become angry and bitter. All they could see is what they had lost, not what they still had. And we find calm in the storm when we recognize that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And we may think, I don't have what it takes to live through this. If you're living through it, God somehow thinks you do have what it takes. And what it takes is Jesus. You see, finding calm in the storm says, I'm going to live for Jesus no matter what. Years ago, I wrote a short devotional I called Tell Your Story and Give God the Credit. Amen. And it really wasn't about telling good things or pleasant things or happy things. But most of us like telling those parts of the story. You cross paths with a grandparent and it isn't long before the roll of pictures come out of all of their grandkids and how great they are and the best grandkids in all the world. And we like those good stories. But sometimes we need to tell the stories of the struggles of our life and how God has carried us through it. It's the telling the stories of the struggles and giving God the credit for walking with us. Of saying, I don't understand why this happens. I don't understand why it continues to happen. But I trust God. He's in charge, I'm not. And finding calm in the storm sometimes rests on our acceptance of that very simple statement. He's in charge, I'm not. And we begin to live with a greater calm when we live under the authority of Jesus. There are times in Scripture where the storms of life come because of disobedience. And many times when it comes from because of disobedience, it doesn't single out those who are disobedient. It affects an entire people group. It affects an entire nation. And sometimes has infected the entire world. I've always loved this scripture that James writes and says Elijah was a person just like us. And he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. And we think, well, how does that happen? Well, it happens because Elijah knew the authority of God. You go back into the book of Kings and you read the account of when that actually takes place. And the praying that it would not rain was not Elijah's idea. That came from God. The text says that the Lord came to Elijah and says, "Go tell Ahab that it will not rain. That I'm bringing discipline. I'm bringing storms of life upon him." And then you follow the life of Elijah. And the storms that came about because of Ahab and Jezebel's disobedience affected not only Ahab and Jezebel, not only those who were disobedient, but it affected Elijah himself. The drought that spread over the land because of the famine that spread because of the drought did not single out those who were wicked. But Elijah believed in the authority of God. And he did the things that God told him to do. And we can find calm in the midst of those storms that come our way when we recognize God's in charge and we're not. We also find calm in the storms of life when we consider the lessons that God has been teaching us. Second Timothy 3:16, perhaps a familiar verse to many here as well, talks about all Scripture being profitable or useful, being God-breathed. Helps if I look at 2 Timothy instead of 1 Timothy. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can you imagine the sense of calm that we would live with if we were confident that we were thoroughly equipped for what was in front of us? I deal at times with anxiety that comes when things seem out of control. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know how to proceed from here. And to recognize that in the midst of the storms of life, as we learn the lessons from God's Word, he says his Word is useful so that we would be thoroughly equipped for every good work. To recognize I can go face the storms of life. I can serve others in their storms with a sense of calm because God's Word has equipped me. It goes back to the planning we talked about in the last session. I need to learn God's Word. I need to spend time in His Word. His Word doesn't equip us by osmosis. It's not something we slip the Bible under our pillow at night and then we wake up in the morning equipped to be calm and prepared. We're equipped by learning and putting into practice the lessons that we find within the pages of His Word. It's living this way that we recognize a calm that supersedes the anxiety that the storm tries to create in our life. One of the things that makes storms of life, storms of any kind, frightening is the unknown, the unexpected. The lack of order, the chaos. And when we begin to recognize that God's Word equips me to address it, and we begin in our own life We ought to live with a greater calm in the midst of that storm. Finally, as we look for calm in the storm, the storms have arrived. We look for moments within the storm. It's good to step back at times and get a big picture of what's going on. But there are times that we just need to narrow in on a moment and realize what's happening. Mm-hmm. To realize the scope. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Down at verse 16-17. It's a great passage here. It talks about us being jars of clay that God pours himself into, that he works through. But it talks about the struggles and sufferings of life, the storms of life. And he says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are renewed every day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. As I think about calm in the storms, I think about the moments. When the storm becomes too big for our mind to process, look at the moment that God has you in right now. We've lived through a time in our nation that continues to live in a time in our nation that is greatly divided. In about any way that you can think of or imagine. And you can look at the racial divisions, the political divisions, the social economic divisions, anything that you want to put a label on, we're divided. And it's so easy to see that big picture and think there's nothing that can be done until we look at the moment. We look at the individual that's sitting across the table from us. We look at our neighbor and the moment of life that God has given us with them. And we take the storm that's raging around us and we say, we can find calm right here. One of the things I noticed in the physical storms that we face is that they're not very discriminatory. If you're in its path, you're getting hit. There were homes damaged and destroyed that most of us would not have considered livable before the storm. There were mansions that I could not even dream of a person having enough resources to build and to buy and to live in. And the storm treated them equally. It didn't care what color of skin the homeowner had. It didn't care the size of their bank account. It didn't care what political affiliation they had. It was a storm. And when you recognize the moments within that, you're able to sit with people that want to be noticed. They want to know someone cares. And they're not looking for the differences. They're looking for someone that spends time. And because of the scope of the storms that our nation is in, I believe we have great opportunity to notice those moments. Our brothers and sisters that are hurting because of whatever. Do we draw up lines or choose sides based on lines someone else has already drawn? Or do we take advantage of the moment and go back to the beginning of this calm and have compassion? You see, I believe compassion works best, it works most effectively in the moment. It has to move beyond theory, it has to move beyond programs, it has to move beyond policy, it has to move into the moment of life. And we find calm in the storms when we take those moments and we recognize God's presence within them. And we share God's presence through them. You see, when Paul writes and he talks about realizing that these storms are simply light and momentary troubles, look at the history, the life of Paul. He describes in Scripture kind of a brief synopsis of some of what he's lived through, and I have to tell you, that would not be what I would call light and momentary troubles. Shipwrecked and beaten and imprisoned and all of this stuff. Oh, this is just light and momentary. There's something better coming. And he says, all of it is worth it in order to share Jesus. And we have calm in the storms when we set our mind on the things above, the things that are unseen. And we say, the storm, if it gets people's attention, if it creates the moment that I can share Jesus with them, it's worth it. Living with calm in the storm is not natural. It's supernatural. It's not done on our own power. It's done by the power of God's Spirit. And today, as we take another break to pray, consider these four elements and pray about how God would have you to grow in one or all of them. The element of compassion, the element of submission to God's authority, the element of lessons from God's Word, the element of the moment. And perhaps in this prayer time, God will give you a greater sense of calm, whether it's regarding the storms that are all around us, or whether it's regarding storms that only you are aware of in your life. The principles all apply. God's desire is that we would get out of the boat and walk to Him and find calm in that moment and choose not to be distracted. I'm going to pray and then again ask that you spend a little time praying on your own. Some of you have noticed I have some t-shirts in the back and brought with me a number of copies of a devotional book I've written called Holding On and Letting Go. I think it really fits well with Prepared for the Storm. It's 19 devotions, kind of alternates. One day is something to be praying about to hold on to, and then the next day is something to be praying about to let go of in the midst of the storms of life, the chaos of life. And it's a book that IDES had me write for them, and they distribute in their care packages when they do disaster relief. And just honored to be able to partner with them in that way. And there are copies of that back there you're welcome to take. In the shirts, there's a tub there if you want to donate something, but if not, that's fine. But I thought I'd make you aware of what's back there and why. Father, thank you that you can bring calm in the midst of our storms. You have empowered us through your Spirit. And because of your compassion, we are able to have compassion on others. Compassion for others. We are able to comfort others with the same comfort we ourselves have received from you. So, Father, help us to pay attention, to live with calm, knowing that you're in charge, that you have promised you will never leave us nor forsake us, and you keep that promise. And may we remember that and hold tightly to it in the midst of every storm. Father, today I pray specifically that we would notice the moments of opportunity to be a presence of calm in the lives of those that are living in great turmoil. Father, today as we pray, may you bring to mind a person, an individual, and whether it's a specific person that we know or whether it's a generalized person that fits a criteria that we've perhaps avoided, but that you're calling us to be that spot of calm in their life. Father, may we take the lessons that your word teaches us. May we take the things that your Spirit is sharing with us today, and may we put them into practice so that the calm that we live with would represent Jesus well. And that calm would be a light. That would be your light that shines to the world. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So go ahead and take some time to pray again. We'll rejoin in...